And I want to bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this third Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from the Gospel of John. And we're going to read from chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 19. And if you are able, I would ask that you would rise for the reading of the Gospel. John 21, verses 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I lovest thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we thank you so much that you have opened us even unto us each and every day. We pray, Father, that by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we would be guided, that we'd be led. That most of all, Father, you would allow our hearts to receive. Allow the flesh to be silent and sanctify us in the truth. For your word is truth. Amen. This is an interesting part of Scripture where we really see Jesus confronting what we would see as a very sensitive subject. Mainly that Jesus Christ himself now approaches Peter, where we often have a tendency to talk about Peter. We have a tendency to remember the bold statements that he's made in his life. But yet, can we honestly say that we would be much different? When we turn around and we look at this in the full context, it is very interesting how now Peter is standing there when Jesus is not in their presence and he says, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to go fishing. And so he turns back to what he knows. And you know what? If you guys fired me tomorrow, I'd probably do the same thing. I'd probably go back to what I know. I'd go back to construction because I'd have to feed my family. I'd have to pay the mortgage. I'd have to do all these things. And sometimes, in a way, that's good for us because we don't live in fear of our job. But the other part is, why? Why, because all of a sudden you guys say, I got to go, that I would have to give up on ministry. But Peter had no understanding of what he was exactly called for. And I'm sure at this point in his life, he was feeling quite down because he was the bold one that stood up and said, I will never deny you. And Jesus turns around, he says, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. It's very interesting when we stop and we consider exactly what's taking place. So then Peter, he goes off, doesn't he? And the other disciples, there's about six of them that go with him. And they say, well, we'll go fishing too. Because what else are we supposed to do? And so they're out there and they're toiling all night long. This is the beginning of this chapter. They're toiling all night long and they haven't caught a thing. And all of a sudden near morning time, Jesus is standing on the shore and he turns around and yells, hey, you guys caught anything? No. Well, throw your net on the other side of the boat. You got to admit, you'd be thinking, what is that going to do? How is that going to change anything? But the fact of it is, they are obedient to what he says, and they turn and they throw the net on the other side, and the net is so full that they can't even carry it. And so then, the one that now loved Jesus, or Jesus loved, as he's always stated, we assume to be John, turns around and says, that's our Lord. And Peter's so excited, because that's how he is, he turns around, he throws on his outer coat, he wasn't naked, he had taken his outer coat off to do the work, and he puts his outer coat back on, and he dives in the water, and he runs. And this, to me, is so encouraging. Because in all honesty, Peter blew it. According to my thought process, according to the way I think, Peter blew it. Because he said, I will never deny you, I will die for you. And he denied him. So then you turn around and you understand, even though he had made what we would call a huge error, when he knows it's Christ, he runs to him. Where do we go? Where do we go in the midst of our struggles? Where do we go even when we blow it? In this day and age, often the church says, you know what, you need to repent, and we'll bring that message strongly. But when you encounter people that are blowing it or making a mess of their life, we often don't want them in our presence. But the fact of it is, in the midst of his struggle, Peter jumps out of that boat and he runs to the shore because he wants to see his Lord. And we talk oftentimes about loving God. Loving God is, in all honesty, knowing Christ, because I myself cannot love him. I have my own understanding, and in my flesh cannot bring myself to the point of loving him. I will deny him every time. But loving God is knowing Jesus Christ and having that imputed righteousness that he will give us the strength and the ability to move forward. And so when Peter sees Christ, we see where his heart is. His flesh is weak, yes, but his heart was strong in the Lord, and he desired to know him. I think it's very interesting because we speak about this very plainly. 1 John verses 4 and 15 say this, "Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides with him, and he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whosoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." Do we bring this to the world? As believers in Jesus Christ, as ambassadors of this powerful message, do we bring it to the world? Do we tell them to know God is to be in Christ, to love God is to be in Christ? Or do we turn around and say, get your act together first, straighten everything else out, and when your ducks are all in the right row, then maybe God will love you? That's a farce. In the midst of our sin, Christ came to die for the ungodly. And this is something that we need to not only encourage, but we also have to gain strength from, so that we can turn away from the sinfulness in our life, that we have the ability to stand firm in the gospel by knowing Christ himself. We quote all the time that the scripture says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, do we believe that? That he is the one to pen it, but he is also the one to complete it. So we turn around and we understand at this time, when they had finished this breakfast, and see, that's where it really gets quite interesting. Because now I'm jumping ahead, getting to our text, but how do you cut this out? To me, it's insane. You know, we worry, and I know I'm not supposed to worry, but we worry about time restraints, we worry about what the church calendar says. But to give you a fast run, and I know I talk fast, so I'm trying to fit in a lot, but the fact of it is, now, when Peter runs to the shore, they bring the fish to the shore, and it says there's 153, and most apostolics like to spiritualize the daylights out of that. I just think it's a big number. It's a lot. The fact of it is, Jesus says, bring it up. Bring some of what you caught up. But this is the interesting part. When they get to the shore, if you read your scripture, what does it say? They get to the shore, they walk up, and they see he already has a fire. He already has fish on it. He already has bread available. See, he doesn't need anything from us. But he needs us to be obedient. He will provide everything. He is the great provider. He provided even the very fish that were in the net. And when they bring it to the shore, the truth of it is, he didn't even need them. Because when they get there, it's already prepared. The meal is ready. And he sits and he breaks. And he gives. He provides. And then after this dinner was over, after this breakfast was over, Jesus turns around and he asks this great question. He says, Simon, son of John. He says, do you love me more than these? And we've oftentimes, because we like to turn these into spiritual things, instead of dealing with what's there in front of us, we like to turn these things into goofy things. We argue over what is he mean by do you love me more than these? What are the these? I've heard people turn around and say, well, you know, it is the disciples. I've heard people say, well, do you love me more than this fish? Many other things like this. And so then when we turn around and we say the disciples, I've heard it said, he's asking them, and I'm not agreeing with this, do you love me more than you love these guys? Really what he's saying to Peter very boldly is, Peter, do you really think you have a love for me that's greater than the love they have for me? Peter, do you love me more than they do? And that is the greatest question. Because I'll be honest with you, if we could honestly get honest with ourselves for a minute, we have a tendency to gauge these things. And we often have a tendency to gauge these things according to the external things in people's lives. And we'll turn around and say, well, I know I must love God more than this guy because he's doing this. Or look how holy he is. He really loves God. And we start to gauge even the amount of love that we may have for God. And it's a very interesting thing when you turn around and say these kind of things because people don't like to hear it. He says, do you love them more than I do? But remember what Peter said. If we look even in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 27 through 30, listen to this. And Jesus said unto them, you will all fall away. In other words, equally, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter said unto him, even though all may fall away, I will not. Peter held himself in that position where he thought he would have the ability to resist. And that maybe, and you can hear almost these words, that maybe he loved him a little more than the others did. Maybe. And Jesus said unto him, truly I tell you, he said, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But Peter doesn't say, well, I do love you more than these guys. But he turns around, and I think he's, if all honesty could be said, I think Peter's quite humbled here. Because he's understanding what's being said. And he turns around and he says, you know that I love you. And Jesus gives him some very important information. He says, then feed my lambs. Take care of them. Take care of the body. See, and that's oftentimes what we have a tendency to miss. When we get involved in churches, we think that we must do this and this and this, and we must take care of this and this and this. But the ultimate thing that we are here for is to feed the sheep, to give to the lambs, to tend to them, to take care of them. Very strongly, we need to understand that we are to preach the gospel, that we are to baptize, and that we are to absolve, that we are to be a light of this gospel in this world, that the world that is full of sin, that we can enter in by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit and bring a professing word that your sins are forgiven. Because that's, in all honesty, what we need to hear. We need to be encouraged by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven people and that we are redeemed by grace through faith. And we have a message to bring. There may be a lot of important things that we're trying to take care of. We can even look in our own congregation and say, yes, we're trying to physically take care of this building. But as brother preached to us, yes, he preached to us because he told us the truth. He proclaimed, it is not the building. It is the body that is the church. But we're still responsible for this. We may see that we have different groups and different activities. And we may see we even have different ventures with Lefty and all these other things. And that's wonderful and good. But that is not the gospel. The gospel can be preached and proclaimed in and through those things. Feed the sheep. He says, Peter, if you love me, stop monkeying around with your fishing. Stop monkeying around with everything else that you're doing and do what you've been called to do. I don't know if you need that reminder, but I know I do. I find myself getting sidetracked. In fact, I was just even talking a little bit, and it's not a grumble. It's just talk with my wife. I said, sometimes during this time of the year, I feel so sidetracked by different things out at Lefty that I lose vision of the church. And, you know, that's going to happen a little bit. It's just going to. And once October comes and we shut it all down and everything's closed, then we can focus back on the church again. What about you? What about all of us? What draws us in different directions? Is it your business? Is it your social life? Is it all these other things? Is it your pride? What is it that draws you away? Now, I think your business can glorify God. I think your social life can glorify God. But do we understand that? Do we include Him in all things? And so he turns around and he says, Peter, feed my lambs. And he said unto him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, tend to my sheep. And this to me is very, very interesting. This to me really puts a lot of emphasis on the pastor, or on the board, or on deaconesses, or whatever the position may be within the church. Not only to feed, to give the food that they need, which is Jesus Christ himself and his word, but also to tend to them, to help them, to encourage them, to guide them. Oftentimes I've heard it said, well, you know, there's more important things, and not oftentimes, but I've heard a few individuals tell me, I have more important things to do than to have coffee with some lady or some guy. I got important counseling to do and all this other stuff. Shame on them. That is the ministry. When you go and you sit in Mrs. Runthala's kitchen and you have a cup of coffee and you just are there to listen to her and to talk to her and to encourage her, it will be within minutes or maybe even within two visits that you will get to find out actually what is going on in her life. Sitting down to have coffee with some elders or with some young or whatever it may be, is very, very important to the ministry. And it's very important to the growth in the body. I've heard it said many times, even in jest, and I make jokes all the time, so I have to be able to take it. Well, you pastors don't do anything but sit and drink coffee and have gorpus. And it's like, yeah, and it shows. But that coffee and gorpus are very important because people get to know who you are and you get to know who they are. He says, Peter, don't run off and go fishing. Don't run off and think that you can do your other job. Now remember, Peter is an apostle. He is a sent one, called by Jesus Christ himself and commissioned to enter into this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have been called and if you have been in reality sent, then do your job. And I believe each and every one of us are called in our own way, that we would take time to encourage one another, that we take time to lift one another and listen to each other, that we wouldn't be so overwhelmed. We live in a very busy world, there's no doubt about it, and we're supposed to be so socially connected, but I think we're very disconnected, actually. I find that we don't want to talk face-to-face anymore. We'd rather send a text. I find that we can't even have even conflict resolution face-to-face. We'd rather send an email. I'm just as guilty. Don't think I'm trying to stand. But what I'm saying is that we need to encourage and work with one another. And he turns around, he says, not only feed them, but he says, tend to them, help them. And so then he turns around, he says a third time to him, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter, he was grieved, and he said unto them the third time, because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? What do you want from me, Jesus? I can almost hear myself saying this. What do you want from me? You've asked me this twice already. I've already answered for you in the affirmative. Peter, do you get it? Jesse, do you get it? Brother and sister in Christ, do you get it? That God desires to have fellowship and relationship with you. God desires it so strongly that when we are separated by the chasm of sin, He came and entered into this world and redeemed you. This is how strongly He desires to have this fellowship with you. Do you get it? Do you even see your value as a Christian? Is your value founded only in what you do economically or socially? Do you see your value as a child of God redeemed by the blood of Christ? Do you see how perfect you are? And that now in this perfection, not of the fleshly perfection, but of a spiritual perfection and imputed righteousness given by God Himself, do you see that you can enter into this world and bring hope and restoration? This is what we need. And he's turning around and he's saying very plainly, Peter, I'm telling you this for a reason. Do your job. Do what you've commissioned. God will provide everything. See, we talk about the ambassador of Christ as being one. And we understand that it is. It is God that infuses the grace in the hearts of the believer. We understand that very plainly. But do we understand He has made us the proclaimers of this grace on earth? What more can we add? What do we dare take away? What stipulation would we lay upon someone to become a believer? Is it the grace of God and? Which one of us, as I've heard it said before, would dare add to the blood of Jesus Christ? Is it the blood of Christ and my sweat equity? Peter, do your job. Preach this gospel to a world that needs to hear it. Bring the gospel to those that are lost. Bring the gospel to those that are found and continue needing encouragement. Continue, Peter, to do your job. We don't have time to go fishing. It is time to bring the truth to the world. He says, you know what? He says, I'm telling you the truth. That when you were young, Peter, you had the ability to do what you want. When you were young, Peter, you had the ability to walk in the ways that you are. But God has now called you, is what he's saying. God has called you, and now you are bound. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, and now, he says, actually, you'll be brought to places that you never thought you'd be brought to. And you'll do things and go places that you never would go to. He says, and you don't have a choice in this. He says, and in reality, you are going to die a death that you would never choose for yourself. And we understand this about Peter. We understand that Peter, as history speaks to us, says that about 68 AD that he was crucified. In fact, he saw himself not worthy to be crucified as Christ, so he was crucified upside down, as the legend speaks. Which one of us would choose that? But yet, I have a tendency to believe, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by the power of God Himself, that when Peter was there, hanging upside down, being crucified, he was pleading that the sheep would be fed. What is first and foremost in our lives? What do you want for your children? What do you want for your friends and your relatives? Do you want them to have a new BMW? That'd be cool. I wouldn't mind one. But most of all, I would want that they know the truth. That no matter what this world may say to them, no matter what institutions may say about marriage, about homosexuality, about drugs, about anything else, God is above and beyond all those institutions. And His word is right, and it is true. Preach the gospel. Leave the politics to the side. Leave the status quos to the side. Stop thinking about your monetary living. Do your job, but preach the gospel. May we give reverence to those that preach this gospel. May we continue to support. But may we never forget that we are all ambassadors of this gospel, each and every one. Because even as parents, grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles, whatever we may be, even just a true friend, we bear the responsibility to share the truth with those around us. Peter, do your job. brothers and sisters in Christ, may we do our jobs. And may we do it well. For His name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We thank You, Father, that You have honored and blessed Your word, that You have honored and blessed Your kingdom, and that You have given Your only begotten Son in our behalf. We pray, Father, that You would continually glorify Yourself each and every day in our lives. We pray, Father, that You would be with all those that may be even traveling for the conventions. We pray that You'd be with all those that would be traveling for anything going on in the summertime, whether they be in trains, planes, or automobiles. We ask, Father, that You would be with them. Give them safe passage. We pray, Heavenly Father, that no matter what, in this up-and-coming week, that we would have the opportunity to glorify You even one moment within each day. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.